Episode 63, Reformation in England and Life in Holland.
Welcome to the Principles in Practice podcast. This is where we discuss biblical principles for life and learning. I'm your host, Heather Hall, and this is my co-host,
Brian Hall.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the show. So we're going to address the Reformation in England just a tad bit to give a backdrop for the Pilgrim story. And I'd like to begin by defining the word history. This is using Webster's 1828 dictionary. History is knowing, learned, and to inquire, to explore, to learn by inspection or inquiry. It's an account of facts, particularly of facts respecting nations or states, a narration of events in the order in which they happened, with their causes and effects. So our premise for this is that God prepares individuals, and then he prepares events to further his story of liberty for the individual and nations. We see examples of this in Scripture. We can look at the life of Moses and how God prepared Moses throughout his lifetime to help free the Israelite slaves, establish them as a nation, deliver God's law to them, and lead them across the wilderness to the promised land. Another example is Joseph. God prepared Joseph throughout his life experiences to become the ruler of Egypt. And I'm sure that each of us can reflect on our lifetime and think about ways that God was equipping us for events in our lifetime. Now, the setting is in Scrooby, England, and we come upon the Scrooby Manor House, and that was the home of William Brewster. The Scrooby Manor House was a secret meeting place for the Separatists, and they needed to meet in secret because King James I was persecuting Separatists. He was king over both civil government and the Church of England. Now, in his Journal of Plymouth Plantation, William Bradford wrote about how, despite violent persecution, some pastors were bold and diligent to preach God's word and repentance. He said, "When as by travail and diligence of some godly and zealous preachers, and God's blessings on their labors, as in other places of the land, so in the north parts, many became enlightened by the word of God, and had their ignorance and sins discovered unto them, and began by his grace to reform their lives and make conscience of their ways. The work of God was no sooner manifest in them, but presently they were both scoffed and scorned by the profane multitude, and the ministers urged with a yoke of consent, or else must be silenced." And the poor people were so vexed with officers of the Church of England, whose duty was to enforce conformity, as truly their affliction was not small, which notwithstanding they bore several years with much patience, till they were occasioned by the continuance and increase of these troubles, and other means which the Lord raised up in those days, to see further into things by the light of the word of God. How not only these base and beggarly ceremonies were unlawful, but also that the lordly and tyrannous power of the prelates ought not be submitted to, which thus, contrary to the freedom of the gospel, would load and burden men's consciences, and by their compulsive power, make a profane mixture of persons and things in the worship of God, and that their offices and callings, courts and canons, etc., were unlawful and anti-Christian, being such as have no warrant in the word of God, but the same that were used in popery and still retained. Ultimately, the Separatists decided to go to the Low Countries because they had heard that there was freedom of religion for all men. And eventually, they came to the conclusion that they couldn't continue under such conditions. So they resolved to get over to Holland as they could, which was in the year 1607 and 1608. So they departed to Holland, where they faced many difficulties. But they were also discipled by Pastor Robinson while they lived there. Now, Pastor Robinson had an important role in the lives of the Separatists. As mentioned, he discipled them in biblical principles for life, principles such as placing conscience before obedience to civil government, and liberty being a God-given right, Christian self-government, and Christian character, obeying laws because they love God versus out of fear, and how to choose leaders. With troubles like the betrayal of mariners, they and their goods intercepted and surprised, robbed, charged, imprisonment, and delayed from their escape, all behind them. They had challenges ahead of them in Holland. I'm going to go ahead and share directly from Bradford's journal with you about some of those challenges. Being now come into the Low Countries, they saw many goodly and fortified cities, strongly walled and guarded with troops of armed men. Also, they heard a strange and uncouth language, and beheld the different manners and customs of the people, with their strange fashions and attires, all so far differing from that of their plain country villages, wherein they were bred and had so long lived, as it seemed they were come into a new world. But these were not the things they much looked on, or long took up their thoughts, for they had other work in hand, and another kind of war to wage and maintain. For although they saw fair and beautiful cities, flowing with abundance of all sorts of wealth and riches, yet it was not long before they saw the grim and grisly face of poverty, coming upon them like an armed man, with whom they must buckle an encounter, and from whom they could not fly. But they were armed with faith and patience against him, and all his encounters, and though they were sometimes foiled, yet by God's assistance, they prevailed and got the victory. Now when Mr. Robinson, Mr. Brewster, and other principal members were come over, for they were of the last and stayed to help the weakest over before them, such things were thought on as were necessary for their settling and best ordering of the church affairs. And when they had lived at Amsterdam about a year, Mr. Robinson, their pastor, and some others of best discerning, seeing how Mr. John Smith and his company was already fallen into contention with the church that was there before them, and no means they could use would do any good to cure the same, and also that the flames of contention were like to break out in that ancient church itself, as afterwards lamentably came to pass, which things they prudently foreseeing thought it was best to remove before they were any way engaged with the same, though they well knew it would be much to the prejudice of their outward estates, both at present and in likelihood in the future, as indeed it proved to be. For these and some other reasons they moved to Leiden, a fair and beautiful city and of a sweet situation, but made more famous by the university wherewith it is adorned, in which of late had been so many learned men. But wanting that traffic by sea which Amsterdam enjoys, it was not so beneficial for their outward means of living and estate. But being now here pitched, they fell to such trades and employments as they best could, valuing peace and their spiritual comfort above any other riches whatsoever. And at length they came to raise a competent and comfortable living, but with hard and continual labor. Being thus settled after many difficulties, they continued many years in a comfortable condition, enjoying much sweet and delightful society and spiritual comfort together in the ways of God, under the able ministry and prudent government of Mr. John Robinson and Mr. William Brewster, who was an assistant unto him in the place of an elder, unto which he was now called and chosen by the church. So as they grew in knowledge and other gifts and graces of the Spirit of God, and lived together in peace and love and holiness, and many came unto them from diverse parts of England, so as they grew a great congregation, and if at any time any differences arose or offenses broke out, as it cannot be but sometime there will, even amongst the best of men, they were ever so met with and nipped in the head betimes, or otherwise so well composed as still love, peace, and communion was continued. Or else the church purged off those that were incurable and incorrigible when, after much patience used, no other means would serve, which seldom came to pass. Yea, such was the mutual love and reciprocal respect that this worthy man had to his flock, and his flock to him, that it might be said of them as it once was that famous emperor Marcus Aurelius and the people of Rome, that it was hard to judge whether he delighted more in having such a people or they in having such a pastor. His love was great towards them, and his care was always bent for their best good, both for soul and body. For besides his singular abilities in divine things, wherein he excelled, he was also very able to give directions in civil affairs, and to foresee dangers and inconveniences, by which means he was very helpful to their outward estates, and so was every way as a common father unto them. And none did more offend him than those that were close and cleaving to themselves, and retired from the common good, as also such as would be stiff and rigid in matters of outward order, and inveigh against the evils of others, and yet be remiss in themselves, and not so careful to express a virtuous conversation. They in like manner had ever a reverent regard unto him, and had him in precious estimation, as his worth and wisdom did deserve. And though they esteemed him highly whilst he lived and labored amongst them, yet much more after his death, when they came to feel the want of his help, and saw, by woeful experience, what a treasure they had lost, to the grief of their hearts and wounding of their souls. Yea, such a loss as they saw could not be repaired, for it was as hard for them to find such another leader and feeder in all respects as for that Taborites to find another Zisca. And though they did not call themselves orphans as the other did after his death, yet they had cause as much to lament in another regard their present condition and after usage. But to return, I know not, but it may be spoken to the honor of God and without prejudice, to any that such was the true piety, the humble zeal and fervent love of this people, whilst they thus lived together, towards God in his ways, and the single-heartedness and sincere affection one towards another, that they came as near the primitive pattern of the first churches as any other church of these later times have done, according to their rank and quality. But seeing it is not my purpose to treat of the several passages that befell this people while whilst they thus lived in the Low Countries, which might worthily require a large treatise of itself, but to make way to show the beginning of this plantation, which is that I aim at, yet, because some of their adversaries did, upon the rumor of their removal, cast out slanders against them, as if that state had been weary of them, and had rather driven them out, as the heathen historians did feign of Moses and the Israelites when they went out of Egypt, than that it was their own free choice and motion. I will therefore mention a particular or two to show the contrary, and the good acceptation they had in the place where they lived. And first, though many of them were poor, yet there was none so poor, but if they were known to be of that congregation, the Dutch, either bakers or others, would trust them in any reasonable matter when they wanted money, because they had found by experience how careful they were to keep their word, and saw them so painful and diligent in their callings. Yea, they would strive to get their custom, and to employ them above others in their work, for their honesty and diligence. Again, the magistrates of the city, about the time of their coming away, for a little before, in the public place of justice, gave this commendable testimony of them in the reproof of the Walloons, who were of the French church in that city. These English, said they, have lived amongst us now these 12 years, and yet we never had any suit or accusation come against any of them, but your strifes and quarrels are continual, etc. In these times also were the great troubles raised by the Arminians, who, as they greatly molested the whole state, so this city in particular, in which was the chief university, so as there were daily and hot disputes in the schools thereabout. And as the students and other learned were divided in their opinions herein, so were the two professors of or divinity readers themselves, the one daily teaching for it, the other against it, which grew to that pass that few of the disciples of the one would hear the other teach. But Mr. Robinson, though he taught thrice a week himself, and wrote sundry books besides his manifold pains otherwise, yet he went constantly to hear their readings, and heard the one as well as the other, by which means he was so well grounded in the controversy, and saw the force of their arguments, and knew the shifts of the adversary. And being himself very able, none was fitter to buckle with them than himself, as appeared by sundry disputes, so as he began to be terrible to the Arminians, which made Episcopus, the Arminian professor, to put forth his best strength and set forth sundry theses, which by public dispute he would defend against all men. Now Polyander, the other professor, and the chief preacher of the city, desired Mr. Robinson to dispute against him, but he was loath, being a stranger. Yet the other did importune him, and told him that such was the ability and nimbleness of the adversary that the truth would suffer if he did not help them. So as he condescended and prepared himself against the time, and when the day came, the Lord did so help him to defend the truth and foil this adversary, as he put him to an apparent nonplus in this great and public audience. And the like he did a second or third time, and upon such like occasions. The which is it caused many to praise God that the truth had so famous victory, so it procured him much honor and respect from those learned men and others which loved the truth. Yea, so far were they from being weary of him and his people, or desiring their absence, as it was said by some of no mean note, that were it not for giving offense to the state of England, they would have preferred him otherwise if he would, and allowed them some public favor. Yea, when there was speech of their removal into these parts, sundry of note, and eminency of that nation would have had them come under them, and for that end made them large offers. Now, though I might allege many other particulars and examples of the like kind to show the untruth and unlikelihood of this slander, yet these shall suffice, seeing it was believed of few, being only raised by the malice of some who labored their disgrace. So that wraps up their experience in Holland, and in the next episode, we're going to cover their reasons and causes for removing themselves from Holland and a bit about their voyage over to the New World. Thanks for joining me, you guys, and I look forward to next time.
As always, if you're looking for additional resources or support, you can visit our website at principalacademy.com, check out our shop and our blog, and you can also find us on Facebook at Christian Homeschooling with Bible Principles, also on Instagram under Principal Academy. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Well, this is Heather Hall.
And this is Brian Hall.
For Christ and His glory.